Good afternoon, everyone. Now, God is very good. All the time. The books have arrived. Praise be to God. Now, there's been some questions about what's the difference between the books and the DVDs. In my first lecture on the DVDs, the DNA and the True Cause of Disease, was the lecture I gave on Monday, and the book is a full exploration of that subject. It also looks at the link between cancer and fungus. It also looks at the history of fungus in disease. It also gives programs of what to do to eliminate yeast from the body. And it also has programs showing how you can help the body to conquer cancer. Whereas the DVDs, there are 13 DVDs in that set. And so the DVDs explore in great details many things that aren't explored in detail in the book, if that answers any questions. So please feel free to come up to me at any time on site and ask anything. Yes? No, it is not the same DVD series as I did from Amazing Discoveries. We have a very secular society in Australia, so my DVDs are aimed at secular. Because as the guy that filmed me said, you speak to secular, everyone will watch it. But he said, you speak to Christians, only Christians will watch it. And when I went to Amazing Discoveries, they said, we really want you to go very spiritual. I said, with pleasure. And so the Amazing Discoveries, I did 10 lectures for them. Some of the subjects are similar. The format is the same. Yes? Some of the 80-year-old ears are having trouble. I've got to remember that the board's back a little bit. What if I speak a little louder? Is that easier? If my husband was here, he doesn't even need a microphone. But I'm a little lady with a little voice. But I will endeavour to speak a little bit louder. I'm very happy for you to stop me and get me to repeat anything. And questions that you may have, if you want to talk to me about a personal problem or your auntie or something like that, I'm very happy to talk to you later. But in the lecture, if you have questions, I'm happy to do them as long as we just keep them to the subject. So as promised, we're going to be talking about the heart, and everyone that has a heart should be here. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep the heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Now, there is two things that are being talked about there. One is the heart. How can we keep that heart strong and healthy so it beats a nice, long, healthy life? And also, out of it are the issues of life. Leviticus 17 verse 11 states that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So we know what's coming out of the heart is our blood. So there are two things that we can talk about here. We can talk about how to keep the heart with all diligence and how to keep the blood nice and thin. Let's have a look at what the blood contains. Blood contains, for it to be life, blood contains white blood cells, and your white blood cells are your internal army. My sister is a senior science teacher, and when she teaches her students immunology, when she finishes, she says, see, the body was designed to heal itself. It just needs the right conditions. In this series of lectures, I've given a few stories about using hot and cold treatments, which increase blood to the area. When you increase blood, you increase healing. You increase healing to the area. And one of the reasons is you're getting more white blood cells into the area. The blood also contains red blood cells. And red blood cells carry the water. Red blood cells carry the oxygen. And red blood cells carry the nutrition. And red blood cells also carry away waste. In fact, hydrotherapy has been used for centuries, and especially in the area of pain relief, it's almost without equal. As I showed you in my story of the plantar fasciitis that I had, brought great relief, and yet it contributes to healing in the area. So how can we keep the blood nice and thin? So I'm going to give you some blood thinners. In Australia, people are told that over 45, everyone should be having a baby aspirin. every day to keep the blood thin. Have you heard that? Do they say similar things there? Well, let me tell you what the research is showing now, that baby aspirin is causing brain bleeds. Now, brain bleeds, what does that remind you of? Alzheimer's? Dementia? It's causing eye bleeds. The eyes deteriorating. It's causing stomach bleeds. In fact, it is well documented. It is one of the contributing factors to stomach ulcers. So we want something a little bit different, is that right? I do a live blood analysis at our health retreat. Take a drop of blood, put it on the slide, comes up on the television when it goes through the microscope. And the only time I see blood clumping together is if the person is dehydrated. So the best blood thinner is water. That's cheap, isn't it? How much water should we be having? Well, in this weather, probably about 10 glasses of water a day. Now, for people who aren't used to drinking water, let me give you some tips to help. Because, do you know, I never drank water. I might have one or two glasses a day, and I was pregnant or breastfeeding non-stop for 14 years. Made plenty of milk for my babies. But you know what I used to often get? Headaches. Every time we went anywhere in the car, I'd get a headache. And I used to get terrible sinus problems. And when I read about the importance of drinking water, I started to implement more water, whether I felt like it or not. Because then I discovered that in a state of dehydration, you lose the thirst signal. Some people say, yeah, but I'm never thirsty. I said, yes, that's one of the signs of chronic dehydration. You lose the thirst signal. In his book, Dr. Batman Geheldige, he says, here are some signs of dehydration. Stomach pain, because you lose that thick mucosa lining that's lining your stomach. Here's another sign of dehydration, headache, because all your brain cells shrink. And that hurts. Another sign of dehydration can be arthritis because it's water that causes me to go like this without any pain. So in many, many ways, water is, it's necessary for every body function. So when you're not having enough, there's some of the symptoms. I think I told you in another lecture, Dr. Batman Geheldi's two other titles to his book. He's not sick, he's thirsty. Don't treat thirst with medications. He's dehydrated. So this is how you can drink water with ease. I think I mentioned the other day, always have a glass by your bed. Wake up in the morning, half a glass of water. Get dressed, another half a glass of water. Go to the bathroom, another half a glass of water. Pray, another half a glass of water. Read your Bible, another half a glass of water. So I can actually get sometimes 3 glasses before I even go on my morning walk. And when I get back from my morning walk, more water. But when I get back from my morning, it's more than a walk, my high-intensity interval training, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, and I'm going to show you how important that is for the heart. I'll come back, and I'll have half a glass of water, and then I'll do a few other things and have another half glass of water. So often, I can get 1 litre in before breakfast. Now, I wake at 5 and eat at 7. That's as a rule. So it's easy to get that much in. If you don't have that much time in the morning, you might not be able to get that much in. Now, what also keeps the blood thin, and in the war, they used to transfuse with this in the Navy. It's seawater. But we don't have to drink seawater, aren't you glad? But we need the whole salt. Now, what are people told if they've got high blood pressure? Stop the salt. So at this point, I'd like to give you the sea story. Seawater contains 92 minerals. All body fluids contain that balance. All body fluids. Blood is exactly the same. That's why they call seawater an isotonic solution. And that's why they used to transfuse with seawater. In fact, when you transfuse with seawater, the body converts it to blood very, very quickly. The salt that you buy on the supermarket shelf, we'll call it table salt, it only has 2 minerals. You see, of those 92 minerals, 50% is made up of chloride and 30% is made up of sodium. Can you see why God meant us to be having the whole salt? You see, these are two harsh minerals. You inject them into the blood of a person, you'll kill them. These two minerals are so harsh, they need all the other minerals to balance them out. So the salt that we use is Celtic salt. And Celtic salt has 82 minerals. Well, where are the other 10? Well, they're in such pico proportions, barely measurable. It's inevitable that a sum are lost in the evaporation process. But what happens with, traditionally, they evaporate seawater. First crystals formed are sodium chloride. They scoop them up, no time to waste for the rest. It takes them a little while to evaporate because magnesium's a water-hungry molecule, so it sort of keeps it moist. So they scoop up those first minerals, bleach it white, put aluminium with it so it runs freely. There's your table salt. And the doctor is right. That is dangerous. It causes a massive imbalance in and out of the cell, and the effect of that is to get the blood pressure up. There's a book by a Dr. Lelangri. He's a French doctor. Whole books on salt. He says, we have no problem with salt in France, because in France we use the whole salt. You see, this one's harvested from the Celtic Sea. He says, if I have someone with high blood pressure come to me, I put them on Celtic salt because it brings back the balance. You see, our body runs according to precision balance. And the balance is of the essence. Did you know the Bible talks about salt? In Matthew 5, verse 13, the Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt hath lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Whoa! Strong language. That's Old English. I love the poeticness of Old English. If the salt has lost its savour, what's the savour? I'd like to suggest that this salt has lost its savour. Pink Himalayan. Yep, that's very similar. So Himalayan has 75. And I do understand that in some areas it's hard to get the Celtic, so the Himalayan's very close. Very close. How much do you use? I use quite a bit myself. But if you're used to no salt and you have high blood pressure, you just take about the size of a sesame seed before every glass of water. So that's 8 times a day. And the more you perspire, guess what? The more you need. So that big, strong young man that's the lifeguard, he'll need a bit more because he's perspiring a lot. Bit of history for you. Cleopatra found that if she gave the slaves salt as well as water, she got more work out of them. Because what are they losing a lot of? You think about it. We sweat seawater. We urinate seawater. We cry seawater. Our body's bathed in seawater. Dr. Lelangri calls it the internal ocean. In fact, there are 4 vital elements needed for life. Number 1 is water. Sorry, number 1 is oxygen. Number 2 is water. Number 3 is sodium. And you'll find that in every chemistry book, every biology book, every anatomy and physiology book. So it defies reason to say no salt. Have you ever tried eating lentils with no salt? Do you know God gave us our palate for a reason? There's a very good book. It's called The Calcium Lie. And it's by Dr. Robert Thompson. It's one of the most interesting books I've read on nutrition. Now, this medical doctor was about to give up medicine because he was sick of people not getting better. And then he went through an experience where he was a little bit challenged to have another look. I mean, he's just spent 7 years doing medicine. So he did a nutrition course and his eyes were opened. And he sees people get better now. Now, if someone, while I'm on this subject, I'd like to explore this one because I'm sure it's a question many have. Osteoporosis. God never meant bones to deteriorate in the latter years of life. He never meant the heart to deteriorate in the latter years of life. So if someone has osteoporosis, what mineral are they told to take? Calcium. Calcium hardens cement, but it does not harden bones. And bones are not made of calcium. Well, what are bones made of? Let me show you. Remember what I'm giving you. I'm just giving you the facts. Bones are made of 12 minerals and 64 trace. What are the 12 minerals? Boron, calcium, chromium, iron, magnesium, manganese, potassium, phosphorus, silica, selenium, sulfur, and zinc. That's what bones are made of. 64 trace minerals as well. 64 trace. So it's not rocket science that what do our bones need, students? That. So where do we find that? Dr. Robert Thompson says the clearest indicator of a creator God is that water right out there. Seawater. Because it's the exact same mineral balance and proportion as is found in our bones, in our muscles, in our fluids, in our body. It's the same. I've got some good news for you. You don't have to drink seawater. Where do we get those minerals from? This is where you'll get those minerals. You get those minerals from Celtic salt and dark green leafy vegetables. Dr. Robert Thompson states that the little bit of Celtic salt you have on your tongue, all it will do is replace the minerals you lost yesterday. So we'll also put some on our food. He's got another chapter where he talks about the fat lie, the salt lie, the cholesterol lie. He's got a whole chapter where there's lots of lies. Who's the liar and the father of it? It's an easy one to remember. It's John 8:44. 4 and 4 equals 8. I have little tricks to help me remember things. John 8:44. In John 8:44, the Bible says that you will do the works of your father, your father, the devil. It says he was a murderer from the beginning because he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own because he is a liar and the father of it. What are we interested in, students? Truth, yeah? Truth. So that's what I'm giving you, the facts here. And then it's very easy to have faith in the amazing body that can heal itself. So your dark green leafy vegetables, have them every day. And when you cook them, you don't lose the minerals. Did you know that? They'll go into the water, so don't throw the water out. So dark green leafy vegetables and some salt every day. Aren't you glad you don't have to spend a fortune on supplements? Huh? And how many people do? How much salt in a day? Depends. Depends on your age, depends on your physical output, depends. I'm sure you won't need as much salt in the middle of December here, will you? I hear there's snow on the ground. Is that right? We Aussies get very excited about snow because we never see it. I was in Colorado a few years lecturing and it was snowing outside and I was... Sorry, I just have to look. I guess that never happens to you. So it depends. It depends on many things. Do you know you can overdo the salt? I remember one day my husband loves red lentils for breakfast. It's his favourite breakfast. He loves it on sourdough spelt toast with avocado, red lentils on top. Lovely combo. One day he was sitting there and he took a mouthful. He went, oh, I said, what's the matter? He said, no, salt. Oh dear, sorry, put the salt on. It's not nice, is it? Because I never measure anything, and if I get a phone call in the middle of the meal, sometimes things might get forgotten. Another day, he started to eat the red lentils, and he went, oh, I said, what's the matter? He said, too much salt. Oh, dear, sorry, have a bit more avocado. You see the point of my story? You can overdo anything. Mm-hmm. You can overdo it and you can underdo it. Just start small. I have a little tiny container in my bag with, and so I can have it wherever I am, that little bit of salt. So now you know how to strengthen your bones. Something else will strengthen your bones, and that is gravity-defying exercise. You know what the best gravity-defying exercise is? Rebounding. I think I mentioned the other day, NASA. They found it's the only exercise that will prepare their astronauts for 2 weeks without gravity. Because they were coming back and they'd suffered 25% bone loss in 2 weeks. Because we have to defy gravity. And the rebounding, it prevented them losing so much because of the strength it gave them. And when they came back, as soon as they went into the rebounding, their strength returned quite quickly. One of the beauties of the rebounder is there's no jarring. You've got that constant bounce. If you've got a rebounder or a trampoline in your house, where are the kids? They just love it, don't they? Well, we've got to get on it too. So we're looking at what thins the blood, and we're looking at the whole salt. The Celtic salt has three magnesiums. It has magnesium chloride, it has magnesium sulfate, and it has magnesium bromide. Now, magnesium is a water-hungry molecule, and that's why the Celtic salt is such a moist salt. Himalayan salt does have magnesium, but not as much as Celtic, because it's not as moist. Is that right? Now, as I showed you yesterday, and I'm going to recap it today, and I'm going to make it a little bit bigger, because we're going to be going into the CBD, the central business district of the human body. But before I go over the energy cycles again, let me show you what happens when you put a crystal of Celtic salt on your tongue and have a glass of water, or maybe half a glass of water and 5 minutes later another half a glass of water. You see, water needs to be in the CBD, but it cannot get into that cell by itself. And you'll find that the only time a person will can drink too much water is if they drink it without having those salt. You could call it minerals, you could call it elements, because the water can't get into the cell by itself. But when you have a crystal of Celtic salt, put it on your tongue, maybe have a little chomp, then drink your water. When it's in your mouth, your mucous membranes are already absorbing it. Then you have your water. That magnesium, as a water-hungry molecule, pulls the water into the CBD, straight into the cell. But it gets better. What science is showing now is that in that membrane, there's a little motor. And when the water rushes through that bilayer membrane under the influence of magnesium, that little motor begins to spin. And the spinning of that motor gives us a unit of energy. So mid-morning, when most people are running outside to have a cigarette and a cup of coffee to get their energy up, you just have your crystal of Celtic salt, your glass of water, and you watch your energy levels come up. And if the children won't drink water, give them salt. Then they'll drink water. You know how in some churches, I'm sure not in this church, there might be some elderly ladies that have little bags of lollies to give out to the children. Well, I have a little container of salt. I give the salt out to the children. Oh, how they love it. And then what do they run for then? Water. Water. That's right. So travel with it everywhere you go. If you've got high blood pressure and you're not used to salt and you start having a lot of this and your blood pressure goes up, what's your body telling you? Back off. Back off. The body's not used to it. And then one of the most amazing things about the body is its ability to adapt and adjust. And if it's adjusted to no salt, it's going to take a little while to get back to adjusting to the salt. It will love it because it needs it. So salt's important. And the Bible knew it was important. when it put that verse in. Now, we know that that verse is also referring to us as Christians, knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Saviour, are to be the salt of the earth and letting our light shine, because the very next verse talks about ye are the light of the world. The first verse 13 says ye are the salt of the earth, and the next verse says ye are the light of the world, so shedding light about. So you can take that verse, and often you can do this in the Bible as two ways, is that right? It's like keep the heart with all diligence. That can also mean the mind, can't it? And on Friday I'll talk about how we need to keep our mind with all diligence. And out of it are the issues of life. Our actions and our words come out of what's happening in our mind. But in this lecture, we're talking about the actual heart, the physical heart, and the issues of life which come out of the heart, how to keep that blood thin, the whole salt and water. 8+ glasses a day. Salt is important. What also thins the blood is cayenne pepper. At our health retreat in Melbourne, this happened about over 10 years ago now, our chef was giving a cooking class to 16 guests, and I got a call. Quickly, Barbara, a lady's just had a heart attack. Run down. It's important to keep fit. You never know when you're going to have to run. I came into the cooking class. You can imagine the guests, they're like this. Her husband was there. The lady was in her 80s, and the husband said she'd already had two of these that year. She was lying on the ground. Her face was pale. There was a guy holding a pulse. He said, the pulse is almost gone. I said, quick, cayenne pepper. So my right-hand girl grabbed the cayenne pepper, got a spoon. I don't even know how much I'll put in. This is a crisis. Probably about half a teaspoon. Put it straight in her mouth. She was half conscious. And then I said, quick, get some water, and gave her a little sip. I would say it took 2 minutes, and the guy holding the pulse said, the pulse is strong. He just yelled it out. He couldn't believe it because he was holding the pulse. He actually felt the change. All the blood came down to her face, and she sat up. She basically said, what happened? She wondered why everyone was standing around looking at her. Everyone in the room was going, whoa. Everyone who's there that day will never forget it. I said, it's not me, it's the cayenne pepper. We sold out of cayenne pepper that program. Everyone wanted to take that stuff home with them. Do you know what was interesting? One of the staff said to me, Barbara, there's a girl up in a room, she's having a panic attack because of what happened here. I said, get the cayenne pepper. Yeah. In fact, she didn't pull out of the panic attack as quick as the lady. It's amazing. What happened? Why did that lady come out of her heart attack? This is exactly what cayenne pepper did. It immediately thinned the blood. It takes 1 minute for one drop of blood to go around the whole body. It immediately thinned the blood. It did something else. It opened all the capillaries. It opened it up so a dramatic supply of blood went through the body and pulled her out of the heart attack. You can get a book, it's an e-book, it's called Curing with Cayenne. So Curing with Cayenne, and it's by Sam Beiser. And Sam Beiser is a medical journalist. We've got that book in a hard copy at our retreat, and everyone who walks around reading it, no matter what happens, they say, cayenne pepper, you need cayenne pepper. I don't think there's any herb that is a cure-all, but cayenne comes close. And the reason why cayenne is such a powerful herb is that it moves blood, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. And if you put cayenne pepper with other herbs, it'll intensify the action of the other herbs. Unfortunately, cayenne's been confused with black pepper. Black pepper's an irritant to the gastrointestinal tract. It's been confused with chili pepper, and chili pepper also irritates the gut. You see, chili comes from the chili family. Cayenne comes from the capsicum family. Now, it's hot. It's just as hot, but it is not an irritant. It's a stimulant. And because it's classified as a stimulant, that's also seen that it's a danger. But it's not a nervous system stimulant like alcohol and caffeine. It's a blood stimulant. Can you see that difference? And as a blood stimulant, is there any problem with stimulating the life of the flesh? No, not at all. So that's a book that you can get if you'd like to check it out, check out the science of it and check out how you can use it. So how much cayenne pepper can you use for a blood thinner? Start with a quarter of a teaspoon in a little bit of water. And as you'll see tomorrow when we go on our journey through the gastrointestinal tract, if you take a quarter teaspoon in a little bit of water just before the meal, it'll help you digest your food. It'll wake anything up. It'll wake digestion up. Are you familiar with the book, Jethro Kloss's book, Back to Eden? He devotes half a page on every herb. He devotes 10 pages to cayenne pepper. And he quotes a few doctors in his 10 pages using it in their practice. One doctor says it's impossible to abuse this. Jethro Kloss. Kloss. K-L-O-S-S. I think it was written in about the 1920s, 30s, something like that. Heat strength. In Australia, they do not tell you the heat strength. So when I come to America and Canada talking about heat strength, I'm not familiar with this because in Australia we don't talk about heat strength. But it's important to get a strong one, and it's obviously the stronger it is, the less you take. Yes, it does tingle. Some people would call it burning. I call it tingling. But it settles down, yeah?
Can you take it in a veggie cap?
You can take it in a veggie cap, yeah. Yeah. It's best to take it in a little water because already in the mouth it's getting into the blood. Now, as you get brave, you can go up to a half a teaspoon three times a day. One lady said to me the other day she's got glaucoma and the drops that she used really sting. And I said, well, you may as well just use cayenne pepper. Huh? She said, oh. I said, well, the other stuff's stinging and it's a drug. Pour boiling water on it, let it cool, strain it through a handkerchief. You don't want any grit in your eyes. How much do you put in? As much as you can stand. If you put too much in, just wash it out with more water. It will never hurt. In fact, one doctor said in Jethro Kloss's book, it will never cause a lesion. That means it will never irritate. It'll even heal a stomach ulcer. So cayenne pepper, we're looking at blood thinners, garlic. That's a lot of research has been done on the garlic as blood thinner. Also ginger. And the thinnest oil that you can get is the omega-3. And the best sources of omega-3 are flaxseed. But be mindful that it deteriorates quickly, so you just need to grind it. There is a use for a coffee grinder. Grind it and put it on your breakfast. Eat it straight away. If you don't eat it straight away, put it in an airtight container in the freezer. And chia. You make some beautiful desserts with chia. And walnut. I think God's got a sense of humor because the walnut looks like the brain. And your brain loves omega-3. In fact, they have done postmortems on suicide victims and found that their brain was totally deficient in omega-3. They're your best blood thinners. Keep the heart with all diligence. Number one, how do we keep the heart with all diligence? Keep the blood thin. One guest said to me, the doctor says I've got to stop doing what I'm doing because my blood's getting too thin. I said, what about stopping your medication? Because you can quadruple your dose of that and your blood will never get too thin. But the medication, because warfarin, you know, it's rat poison, causes the rats to bleed to death. So they don't give human beings quite that much. But anyone on warfarin, they just knock their arm and they bleed. And they won't stop bleeding. If you're going to have an operation, you have to stop warfarin 2 weeks before the operation. Otherwise, you'll bleed to death on the table. Psalm 104, verse 14. God gave herbs for the service of man. So these work with the needs of the body. Yes? How do you use the garlic? Whatever. Not everyone can handle it raw. If you've got a stomach ulcer, it can be a little harsh on your stomach. But if you have a bowl of soup and crush it into the hot soup, that'll just take the edge off it. What's really nice is crushing the garlic, putting it in olive oil with some Celtic salt and putting that on your baked potato. That is very nice. Put it on your sourdough spelt bread. Very nice. So you just take it in the way that you can. What about ginger? Put it in every stew, every stir fry. Put it in your legumes. Or grate it and pour boiling water on it. That's one of my favourite teas. So we now know how to keep the blood thin. And we now know how to get the water into the cell. Number two, we should be eating food that is high in fibre. Your highest fibre food is vegetables. No limit on the vegetables. Remember, vegetables are high in fibre, high in minerals, low in sugars. Whereas your fruit is high in fibre, high in sugars, low in minerals. So it's not that you don't eat fruit, it's just that you keep that to a low. If you're looking at bringing about a healing condition in the body, go for more vegetables. Generous amounts of protein. What's your best protein? Legumes, beans, beans, beans. If you're a little bit daunted at soaking them and rinsing them, you can buy organic beans. And what you do with them is you rinse them, bring them to the boil, rinse them again, and then put them in your dish. Because you don't know if they've rinsed them or soaked them, do you? But you really should never say never, but I do have to tell you that I've never used tin legumes. I always cook them. You soak a batch, tinned legumes. Oh, can, sorry. It's my accent again. You say can, is that right? But you know what? If it makes it easier for you, use the can. Can. But try and get organic. But if you had two dishes there and they were made out of, say a haystack dish made out of kidney beans, and one lady did it with legumes that she'd soaked and cooked, fresh tomatoes, fresh herbs, and then you had another one that was made with canned kidney beans and a can of tomatoes, you could taste the difference. Mm-hmm. I'm so used to fresh. I love the fresh. I know there's a few things. Jumper. You don't know what a jumper is, do it? Sweater. Yeah. I asked someone in the town one day, where's Walmart? They said, we don't have that. Because I should say, wow, Mark. Is that right? Not Walmart. And the other day, Ed said to me, I said, who's on it too? He said, Dawn. Dawn. So I'm looking for a dawn. But he meant Don. Don. See, we say Don, you say Dawn. So your protein is your legumes. I eat legumes every meal. You might say, that's a little bit over the top. Well, no one blinks at people eating meat every meal or bread every meal. Or if you're from Asia, rice everywhere. So what's the problem with legumes every meal? I told you my husband's favourite breakfast, that I certainly like that breakfast too, is red lentils on toast. Sourdough spelt, of course. So your legumes, get used to legumes. Start trying a little bit more. In my book, you'll notice it's the only recipes I've put in there is legumes. Most people are unfamiliar with it. I didn't know what a lentil was till I was about 20. Also, nuts and seeds. You can overdo the nuts. A handful every meal. You ready for the handful? Fingertips are touching the palm of your hand. Not this handful, okay? This handful. So my young friend here, I think he could fit two or three in. See, that's just the right amount. I can fit at a real squeeze about eight in. my 6'6" brother-in-law, he maybe can fit about 12. One lady said, our 3-year-old has 3 and our 5-year-old has 5. I said, what does your 80-year-old have? So that doesn't really work, that one. I find most people don't eat that many nuts. That's every meal. They'll eat no nuts, get a bag of cashews and eat the whole lot in the afternoon. Is that right? And they're expensive. So just a little bit every meal. It's actually a nice dessert, is to have a handful of nuts after the meal. And seeds and fats. So where are your best fats? Your nuts and your seeds and your coconut. Mm-hmm. And olive. The only reason that coconut is not talked about in the Bible, because no coconuts are grown in Europe. Is that right? In fact, if the Bible had been written in the South Pacific Islands, it would have talked about the coconut. So depending on where you live as to what is the best fat. But what are people told is the cause of heart disease? Fat and cholesterol. I've got some shocking news for you. There is no proof. There is no proof. There is no proof that cholesterol and saturated fat cause heart disease. That's shocking. Because it's almost across the board. No matter where I go in the world, people think that. Why? Because that's what they've been told. But that's shocking news that there is none. So what I want to show you now, I want to show you the truth on cholesterol. So here's the liver, and I'm drawing the liver right here because the liver makes cholesterol, and it makes cholesterol according to the body's needs. And the cholesterol that it makes is made, 80% of the cholesterol it makes is made from glucose. And 20% of the cholesterol that the liver makes is made from fat. Now, just that one piece of information alone, you know what that tells you? It's not the butter on the bread, it's the bread under the butter that's the problem. As I showed you yesterday, when we looked at diabetes, that high carbohydrate diet, what does it store as? Fats. That's your triglyceride fats. That's the dangerous fats. Now I'm going to show you the two different types of cholesterol. So we're going to look at high-density lipoprotein, high-density lipoprotein, HDL. That's called the good guy, is that right? And the reason it's called the good guy, because it's the carrier, which means it carries excess cholesterol back to the liver. And we've got LDL, low-density lipoprotein. It's called the bad guy, is that right? Brethren and sisters, God doesn't make anything bad. The body doesn't make bad things. It's got a role, and that role is that of a repairer and a rebuilder. That's what it is, that's what it does, but it does something else. LDL delivers cholesterol to the brain because cholesterol is one of the brain's main fuels, favorite fuels. In fact, the fattiest organ in the body is the brain. And a fat-free diet is the most dangerous on the brain because not only is it a very fatty organ, it loves fat as fuel. Do you know what the fattiest food on the planet is? Fattiest food with the highest cholesterol levels, breast milk, in the first month of life. So are we going to ban breast milk? Why? Why is it so fat-rich? And why is it so cholesterol-rich? Because the developing brain cannot develop without fat. You want a smart brain? What do you eat? Fat. It's so ingrained in us that fat is bad. One professor of nutrition, he said, I think it's going to take a whole nother generation to get this out of our thoughts. Let's have a look at the blood. Look at the blood vessel and look at how these two work. Can you see that? That's not very strong. Because of its low density, LDL is on the edge. Because of its high density, HDL is in the middle. Now let's say a person smoking cigarettes, 4,000 chemicals in that cigarette, and those chemicals damage the endothelium cells. They're the cells that line the arterial wall, cause damage. People don't realize that a lot of what they're washing their clothes with, what they're cleaning their teeth with, what they're washing their bodies with, what they're washing their hair with, what they're cleaning their dishes with, chemicals start to become a label reader. And if you don't know what those words mean, Google it. You'll be shocked. Those chemicals can damage the endothelial cells. Mercury. How many people have mercury fillings in their mouth? It's toxic. It's a neurotoxin. And it can damage the endothelium cells. Let's say a person's living in a moldy house. That mold getting into the blood can damage the arterial walls. And by the way, do you know what the body uses to heal that most? Vitamin D. And vitamin D is made from, does anyone know what vitamin D is made from? Cholesterol. The ultraviolet rays from the sun hit the skin and convert a form of cholesterol just under the skin to vitamin D. And vitamin D is needed to heal that. Do you know what they found? When dark-skinned people go and live in London, heart disease skyrockets because they're not getting their vitamin D, because the darker the skin, the more sun you need. Well, the more sun you can bear too. I'm blue-eyed, light skin. I can't be out there for too long. So can you see what's happening here? Damage. Who's going to plug up the hole, students? LDL. That's its job. So it comes along, plugs up the hole. But the people don't realize the moldy house is killing them. They don't realize the chemicals that are in their foods, that are in their clothes, in their cleaning products is damaging. They don't realize that the mercury in their mouth. So what's happening to the lining of the artery, students? It's building up. What's that called? Atherosclerosis, yeah, arteriosclerosis. When I worked in the operating theatre in my early 20s, we did a bypass and the surgeon cut the artery out. But first of all, he had to cut the chest, saw the bones apart, clamp them open, go down to the leg and cut an artery out of the leg, cut the clogged up one out and put the artery from, it's quite a complicated process. And he got the artery that he'd cut out and it was all clogged up with this white gristle. And he got the tweezers and pulled it out. What do we say that is? Cholesterol. But do you know what is never ever addressed? Huh? Why is it there? Did God put it there? No. Why is it there? Newton's third law of motion states that to every action there is an equal and an opposite reaction. To blame cholesterol for heart disease is like blaming the ambulance for every accident. Well, they must be causing the accidents. They're the one common denominator at every accident, aren't they? It's like blaming the fire trucks for the fire. But they're always there, so they must have caused it. Can you see that reasoning? There is a great deceiver. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the Satan and the devil, which deceives the whole world. This is a deception. It's a deception that cholesterol causes heart disease. It's a deception that fat causes heart disease, because the South Pacific Islanders have been eating coconut three times a day for centuries, thousands of years. No heart attacks. Can you see we have history to show us? So where did this come from? Ansel Keys from Minneapolis in 1953, he first put forth the theory that cholesterol and saturated fat cause heart disease. And in his own words, in a book I have, he's quoted as saying, we're sure the research will come. Is that science? In fact, if he had one study that refuted his theory, that's enough. He studied 17 countries to prove his theory. He had to throw out the Maasai. The Maasai eat blood, meat and milk. Zero heart disease. Huh? Mind you, they don't live long lives because their poor gastrointestinal tract clogs up pretty quickly. He had to eliminate the Norwegians, the Swedes, the Swiss, the French, because what do they love? Those northern countries, their dairy products. almost no heart disease. And the countries he chose to prove his theory, it actually wasn't the butter on the bread, it was the bread under. It wasn't the olive oil on the pasta, it was the pasta under the olive oil. Let me give you the name of five books I have in my library. The Great Cholesterol Deception by Dr. Peter Dingle. The Great Cholesterol Lie by Dr. Dwight Lundell, cardiovascular surgeon. Performed 10,000 bypasses. And what has he written? Actually, that's an e-book, that one. The Great Cholesterol Lie. It's a lie. Third one, The Great Cholesterol Con. This one's by Dr. Malcolm Kendrick. Dr. Malcolm Kendrick is also a cardiovascular surgeon. He's scathing on the falseness of this theory. He said, for the first time, normal levels of a normal vital body substance is being called a disease. Scathing he is. He's a cardiovascular surgeon. Another one by Johnny Bowden called The Great Cholesterol Myth. I've got another one called The Great Cholesterol Hoax. We're running out of words. This is just not one doctor, it's many. They don't even know each other. I'm in the middle of reading another one. Yeah, there's many more. It's called Put Your Heart in Your Mouth, and it's by Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride. She's scathing as well. She said there is no proof. What does the proverb say? In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. A friend of mine, his name is Dr. David Harris. He's a craniosacral specialist, chiropractor. He's very, very fit, late 50s, goes to Europe every year, cycles for 200 Ks, vegetarian. He was getting a bit breathless. His cardiologist did a scan on the arteries in his heart. Five arteries almost blocked. They rushed him in for emergency surgery, five bypasses. I talked to him a couple of weeks later. He said, it's genetics, Bob. It's genetics. He said, my father died in his 50s, but he was a drinker and a smoker. He said, so I don't know why I've got it. Must be genetics. But remember, genetics loads the gun. Lifestyle pulls the trigger. I said, there must be more to it, Dave. Can't blame genes. I said, watch my liver lecture. On my liver lecture, I explore this. He rang me back a couple of days later. He went, I've just discovered the problem. What does Job 29:16 say? The source, the cause that I knew not, I searched out. He said, my parents were both chain smokers as a child. So he's breathing in that passive smoke. Can you see that damage to the arteries is happening as a child? And I think we all know when there's scarring there, it's even more susceptible. So as a child, he had all that scarring. And he said, in 2010, I decided I needed more protein, so I began to eat swordfish. Do you know in Australia, pregnant women are told not to eat swordfish because it has the highest mercury content? Within 4 months of having swordfish every day, he got mercury poisoning. What's caused the damage to his artery students? Number one, passive smoking as a child. The damage was done there. And the mercury. And now the body starts clogging up the damage to protect it. He said, oh dear. So if someone has a heart attack or a stroke, they're put on blood thinners, and we've just showed you that they're not very good. And then they're put on cholesterol-lowering medications, all right? So cholesterol-lowering medication, what does that do? That blocks the pathway in the liver that the liver uses to make cholesterol. But that same pathway that is used to make cholesterol also makes coenzyme Q10. Coenzyme Q10 is your heart protective enzyme. So a person can go on cholesterol-lowering medication to prevent a heart attack, and they can increase their risk. Because now they've lost coenzyme Q10. What are the side effects of cholesterol-lowering medication? Are you ready for them? Memory loss. And how many people blame age? Have you read about Alzheimer's in the Bible? I haven't. Except for Nebuchadnezzar when he turned his back on God. Huh? No. Did Moses have Alzheimer's? Did Methuselah have Alzheimer's? No, no, no. God did not design the body so that the brain would deteriorate. He designed the body so that it will get smarter and stronger and wiser with age. So if it's not, the detective hat has to be put on because the curse causeless will not come. So here are the side effects of cholesterol-lowering medication. Memory loss, Alzheimer's, dementia, muscle wasting. They've just added another one, breast cancer, because our sex hormones are made from cholesterol. Do you know there's even a book called The Human Cost of Lipitor, and Lipitor is a very common cholesterol-lowering medication. If you're on cholesterol-lowering medication and with this information you make a decision to stop, there will be a side effect. Your memory will return. What I say is true. In fact, aspirin, warfarin, and cholesterol-lowering medication can be stopped without any ramifications other than your memory will return. And if you've got signs of Alzheimer, that'll start to recover. Yeah. You can see why that happens, because the brain needs fat. 50% of the membrane around every cell in the body is fat, except for the brain. 70% fat. It's the fattiest organ in the body. I give you the name of those books so you can check it out yourself. Now, what I will do when my lecture finishes, I'll write the name of all of those books, because we need to know the facts. And one lady said, I cannot stop my aspirin. I said, why not? She said, the doctor said I will die. So why is she taking aspirin? A four-letter word starting with F. Fear. Is that right? God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to be making our decisions on fact, on the truth. And you will hear many different theories. Is that right? And you've probably heard theories totally different to what I'm telling you today. So you think, who do we believe? If a Christian says to me, we shouldn't be eating fat, I said, that's very unbiblical. We all know the story of Elijah fed by the widow in the 3 years of no rain. What did God put in her cruse every night? Olive oil. End of story for me. End of story. What's God just saying? No, he didn't put gallons in there, did he? It's a concentrated food. You don't need a lot, but a little bit. So we're looking at how you can keep the heart with all diligence. And I trust, I don't know whether you have this saying, I trust I've blown to smithereens the theory that cholesterol and saturated fat cause heart disease, because it's a deception. It is a lie. Number three, how to keep the heart with all diligence. Now, what we covered in the blood thinners was the water. The water is absolutely essential. So I won't put water because we've already done that one. Early nights. Why early nights? Because between the hours at the moment of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m., your body heals at twice the rate. Isn't that good news? Between the hours of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m., your batteries are recharged. As I lie in bed at night and I hear the youth near my little cabin, oh, I'm just hanging out for 10. And I'm very, very thankful that they turn the music off at 10. Because that's when we need to be sleeping. Do you know the great deceiver steps in again? He keeps people on their internet, yeah? He keeps people on their iPads. He keeps people at the television way past these hours. Is that right? Make sure your bedroom is free from technology. I'm sure you all know that. Charge them in the other room. Well, I have to charge mine in my room, but they're way over in the corner. So very important to have early nights to allow your bodies to heal. And if your body's not sick, it'll keep it from getting sick. Number four, exercise. Did you know that your heart is made out of muscle? It's a muscle. And that muscle can be strengthened and that muscle can be weakened. And there's only one way to strengthen the heart muscle. Strength comes by exercise. There is no other way. There's no other way. One lady said, how can I improve my circulation other than exercise? Sorry, I don't have an answer to that. Isn't there something else? I haven't got time. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a type of exercise that will take 12 minutes. Are you interested? And this 12 minutes of exercise is more powerful than a one-hour jog. It's called high-intensity interval training. High-intensity interval training, as the name implies, are intervals of high intensity. What's high intensity? Running for your life, can't run. Most of the research has been done on an exercise bike, so you're holding on and go for it. Go very, very fast, ideally 30 seconds. That's not long. Try it. I thought that's not long. And when I first started trying it, because I'm a runner, when I got to 20 seconds, my body said, that'll do. When I got to 25 seconds, my body said, this is a bit ridiculous. When I got to 30 seconds, I feel like I'm dying. And you know it's a Bible principle. It's a principle in nature. Death comes from life. Is that right? So when you feel like you're dying, just remember you're going to be really living after this. Then a recovery time. Don't you love the recovery time? In the recovery time, quite a few things happen, which I'll show you. Recovery time of about 90 seconds. Now, if you need 5 minutes recovery time, that's okay, because you start with where you are. Your fitness is not determined by how hard and fast you can go, but how long you take to recover. Mm-hmm. You'll get there if you can't get there now, and then it's usually done for a cycle of six. Is that 12 minutes? You will find that all the top athletes today, that's how they're training. They're training with the high-intensity interval training. Because it's so powerful. In fact, I remember thinking, it's like you're hardly doing it. Mind you feel like you're dying here. But then you have recovery. What is recovery time? Ideally, recovery time is not standing still or sitting down. It's just light movement. You might do some stretches in your recovery time. Because I've been doing it on the beach and there's not a long stretch, I'll do recovery time by doing stretches. And everyone should be able to do this. You'll lose me in a minute. Hi. Hi. Squatting. If you can't squat because your knees don't let you, just half squat. And then little by little by little, you'll be able to go down more. It's one of the best core strengtheners, pelvic floor strengtheners. Muscle knows no age. Did you hear that? Whether we're 9 or 90, we can have strong muscles, and it's a deception and a lie from the devil that in your latter years you don't need to exercise. When I was on the plane, 15 and a half hours, I went to the documentary section and I picked out one, 90-year-old athletes. Did you hear that? 90-year-old athletes. You should see these guys go. They're sort of a bit like this. But they're going. No Alzheimer's there. Incredible. Muscle knows no age. Whether you're 9 or you're 90, you've got to move this body. God's work is lacking because of sick Christians. Do you know at our health retreat, we would love a retired couple. The lady to potter a bit around my pot plants and to fold washing. The guy to do a little bit of odd jobs around the place. That's all we want. We cannot find any. But isn't that incredible? I would think it would be a dream place to live for a retired couple. And down in Port Macquarie, which is the closest coastal town for us, there's an Adventist retirement village with thousands of houses in it. We can't find anyone. Isn't that incredible? I think it's because they're sick. You'll come, will you? Oh, you drank your water, great. You drank his water. Just incredible. So it's time to get fit. It's time to go into training. It's time to go into training for God's work. When I was in Georgia a couple of years ago, I was at Wildwood. And I was lecturing Sabbath afternoon. So Friday morning, I was looking for something to do and I went to the herb shop and there was a young man and he had all these books. We started to talk and then he realized I knew a few things. So he said, "Don't move." And he'd serve a few people, come back, just stay there. Now what would you do for this? Now what do you do? And he's just getting very excited. He was about 30. Anyway, he closed the shop at, I think, 12 o'clock, something like that. He said, "Look, can I talk to you more?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I'm taking a young man, he's coming off drugs, on a mountain climb this afternoon. Do you want to come?" I said, "Sure." I saw him at lunchtime. He said, "Ah, the young man can't come. Do you still want to climb a mountain?" I said, "Sure." Now, I'd much rather do that than just sit and talk. Mountain. Took us an hour and a half to get up the top. It was quite a mountain. If you've been to Wildwood, it's sort of up the back of Wildwood. It's through the bush. You call it woods, is that right? We call it bush. And it was winter, so the leaves went on the tree, which was good because coming back we got lost, but we were able to find our way. Now, I didn't want to hold him up because he's only 30, so every now and then I'd stop and I'd just say, "I'm just going to look at the view." Now, you don't have to run when you're climbing a mountain. You're getting high intensity just walking up the hill. We finally got to the top and I looked at my clock and it was 3:45 and it's an hour and a half and it's dark at 5. I said to him, "We've got to go." And I said, "We've got to run." He said, "You're right." So we zigzagged down and we didn't run too much because it was a bit steep. But when we got down to the bottom, I looked at him and I said, "Let's run," because then there was probably about another kilometre to get back to the houses. We had so much energy. It was the best shower I've ever had, I think, just about, because I was wet with perspiration. And I thought to myself, I am going to suffer tomorrow morning. I woke up the next morning, not one sore muscle. I couldn't believe it. No sore muscle at all. And that experience showed me that this is powerful. Because sometimes I don't quite get 6 cycles. Sometimes I'll do 3 or 4, depending on my time, depending where I am. It's powerful. And that's what it shows now for the athletes. Very powerful. But what I want to show you is what it does inside the cell. Yesterday, we looked at how the glucose goes into the cell under the action of insulin, and it goes through a 20-step pathway. And this 20-step pathway gives us 2 units of the big E energy. Now, the end result of the 20-step pathway is a chemical form of glucose called pyruvate. And pyruvate is the chemical form of glucose that gets fed into the powerhouse. This 8-step pathway is called the powerhouse because it delivers to us a whopping 36 units of energy. This pathway is the oxygenated pathway. This pathway, no oxygen. We also looked at how, when we're on a high carbohydrate diet, once the glucose has gone through here, we've still got a lot left over, and so now the body stores it as glycogen. Remember glycogen? As I said yesterday, the diabetic's best kept secret. And then, over here, we've got our fat cells. And on that high carbohydrate diet, as I showed you, what's happening to most Americans, Canadians, Australians? They're getting bigger and bigger. So now I want to show you what happens to all of this when you do the high intensity interval training. So when we're getting even halfway through our first set of 30 seconds, 20 step speeds up. 8 step speeds up. No wonder. But what I didn't tell you is that 20-step pathway is very fast. So it's a very fast pathway. And the 8-step is a slow pathway. And right as you're sitting here now, they actually feed quite well into each other. But when you're exercising and the 20-step speeds up and the 8-step speeds up, more pyruvate is being made than can be fed into the powerhouse. And so the liver causes the pyruvate to be stored as lactic acid. You've heard of lactic acid? I think the most exciting part of high-intensity interval training is what I'm going to tell you now. When you're in recovery time, remember, might be just stretching your legs. When you're in recovery time, the liver converts that lactic acid back to pyruvate and feeds it into the powerhouse. So in recovery time, when you're hardly doing anything, your cells are burning just as much fuel as when you're running for your life. Isn't that good news? Think of that next time you're doing your... And what's it doing to the lactic acid, by the way? Mopping it up. So it prevents acid buildup at the cellular level. That explains why it's such a powerful form of exercise. Let's get to our second set of high intensity. We're starting to pluck the glycogen, feed it through. By the time we're getting to about our fourth set of 30 seconds high intensity, we're running out of glycogen. And so now, the body says, we need fuel. And so the brain releases the human growth hormone. And the human growth hormone activates hormone-sensitive lipase. And hormone-sensitive lipase is the enzyme that breaks down sin. It breaks down fat stores. So it's hormone-sensitive lipase starts to break down your stored fuel. The human growth hormone stops burning glucose as fuel and becomes a fat burner. And the reason it becomes a fat burner is because the body burns glucose at 4 calories per gram. But the body burns fat at 9 calories per gram. And isn't that why most weight loss books says, don't eat fat, it's got more than twice the calories of glucose, but they don't understand what a calorie is. A calorie is a unit of energy. So if you want a high energy fuel, what do you eat? Fat. It's hard to say, isn't it? Fat phobia has overtaken so many people. The great deceiver has deceived the whole world. Once again, the Bible is very accurate. Can you see why the human growth hormone stops burning glucose as fuel and starts burning fat as fuel? Because fat will give more than twice the units of energy. It's all right, it's plastic. The human growth hormone increases our body's ability to utilize protein, and the human growth hormone increases the circulation of the blood to the skin. That's why it's called youth hormone. Did you know movie stars pay $1,000 a week for that? Well, I'm offering it to you cut price today. 12 minutes of high-intensity interval training a day will cause a release of the human growth hormone, and it remains active for 24 hours. Isn't God good? What does the Bible say in Psalm 139, verse 14? I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous at thy works, right down at the cellular level. Yes? Yeah, if you're going to go on a long walk, just burst into high intensity every now and then. Then slow down. So when you're slowing down, it's not an excuse because you can't go fast anymore. You're burning up your lactic acid. That is the most powerful form of exercise there is. It's that type of exercise that will strengthen the heart. And the stronger the heart gets, the less it beats and the more it rests. So if you can't run, exercise bike. Your knees and your ankles or your hips won't even let you do that. Rebounding. And if you can't rebound with a jump, all you have to do is that. That's all you have to do. Start with that. Your feet don't even have to leave the mat. And every day you'll do a bit more and a bit more and a bit more, and it won't be long before you're leaping off the mat. There's no jarring there. Strength comes by exercise, and the most powerful strength-forming exercise is defying gravity. And rebounding defies gravity in a more powerful way than any other exercise. It's the most powerful form of exercise there is. I notice my time's up, and I think we've got our list. But I'd like to add one more thing. There is a herb that strengthens the heart. And I've seen many get off their medication by going on the hawthorn berry. The hawthorn berry strengthens the heart. And you can take, it's a very safe herb, you can even take up to 4,000 milligrams a day. It's very safe, very safe. So before we close, let me just give you a story about Henry. Henry was a retired judge. He was 68. He came to our health retreat. He was on blood pressure medication, cholesterol-lowering medication, blood-thinning medication, blood sugar medication. He was on medication for gout and stomach ulcers. I put him on the hawthorn berry. We made a tea out of it. At the end of the week, he said, "I've enjoyed my week, Barbara," retired judge. He said, "I'll take some hawthorn berries." He rang me. He rang me 4 months later. He said, "Barbara, could I come and visit and get some more berries?" I said, "Certainly, Henry." When I opened the door, I did not recognize Henry. He'd lost 20 kilos in 4 months. What's that, 40 pound? "Wow." I said, "Henry, looking good." He said, "Yes, I can do my coat up now." He said, "I have a few more stories for you." He said, "I went to the doctor recently, he took my blood pressure, and the doctor said, the machine's broken, I'll have to get another machine." He said, "Why do you say the machine's broken?" He said, "Well, your blood pressure is 120 on 80. He said, "Your blood pressure is 163 on 100. That's on medication. Henry said, "That's my blood pressure now." He said, "The doctor took him off all his medication because his blood cholesterol is normal. Eating this. His blood thinning's normal. His blood sugar's normal. Everything's normal." He said, "And I don't have to have the knee operations anymore," because he said the knees haven't got all that weight on them. I said, "Tell me what you have for breakfast, Henry." He said, "I have a big spaghetti bowl of fruit and whole grain cereal and coconut cream." Did everyone hear that? Coconut cream. "And some sourdough spelt toast with avocado and tomato." He said, "I don't eat again till lunch." Oh, he had seeds and nuts as well. Big salad, vegetables, legumes, maybe another slice of sourdough toast with avocado and tomato. He's a very decisive man. He would have been a good judge. He said, "And I do not eat again till breakfast." I said, "That's very impressive. That's not a light diet, is it?" I said, "Tell me about your exercise program." He said, "I find I can walk another block every week." As he loses weight, as his heart gets stronger, as his muscles get stronger, he can get further with less effort in less time. Impressive story. Who took him off his meds? His doctor. It's up to us to prove to our doctor that we can do this and we can manage it. And he will have to take you off your meds. Otherwise, your blood pressure will go too low and you'll pass out. Your blood thinning will go too low and you'll start bleeding everywhere. You see? Because that's what drugs do. Drugs say, "Get out of my way. I've got a job to do whether you need it or not." Whereas what do herbs do? "Where would you like me?" They're the servants. So I trust you will be inspired to keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Let us bow to close. Father in heaven, thank you so much for our heart. Thank you so much for our blood. Thank you for Jesus that shed his blood that we might live. Thank you so much for truth. And I pray that each one of us will be inspired to take up the challenge and come back into your work as fit, strong, healthy workers for you, that we may hasten your coming, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.